All set.
Okay.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch. Welcome. This is where you can get some insight into your own issues, work out some problems, get suggestions. Let me ask you some questions here, folks. Are you interested in finally finding someone who you can have a healthy relationship with? Somebody who's honest? Somebody who's warm and doesn't have a lot of baggage bogging them down from the past to interfere with their personality? Have you found a great person, finally, and do you want to create more intimacy? Do you want to spice up your sex life a little bit? Well, that's a good idea, too. You know, I've had many clients throughout the years come to me with these needs, and they want to work through their issues, and they want to get insight into why they can't find a special person, though, and why they keep meeting the same type of unhealthy people. I also see couples who want to have more intimacy and they want to have better sex. And today you're going to be able to get a lot of information about all this, get your questions answered. Let me tell you how you can reach my special guest. And if you have any questions, comments, you can get on the air immediately. The number here, 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. If you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can email me direct right here at the station at Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com, DocMichelle@AOL.com. And I'll read the first questions that come in. That's the way we handle it. My special guest today is going to help you. It's Andrea Adams Miller. She's known as the sexuality tutor. She's an authority in healthy relationships and sexuality, and today we are talking about her workbook, also her website, her other book, Healthy Relationships, Healthy Sexuality. She's CEO of sexualitytutor.com, and she's been all over the place, a motivational speaker, contributing author to many other books and magazines. And welcome to the show, Andrea.
Hi. So thank you so much for having me on, Dr. Michelle. I really appreciate it.
Well, it's always my pleasure. You really do help out my listeners a lot. And it's always lovely to have you on the show here. So we're going to jump right into sort of getting into healthy relationships. And I'm really always curious about authors, speakers. What was it that made them want to help other people? But what was it that made you want to help folks have healthy sexual relationships and better relationships in general?
Well, it's actually, you know, ironic, you know, it's always funny, you know, the different worlds that we all come from in, and when we end up specializing in a certain area, you know, what adds to us about that. And for me, it was that I was an only child. I, you know, my parents were together, but I would see other people's relationships where they had trouble and they struggled, and my friends, their parents were divorced.
Right.
And then I worked in service-oriented professions in law enforcement as a corrections officer.
Wow.
As a 911 dispatcher. And boy, talk about really rough relationships. I mean, that's where you really see relationships at their worst.
Yes.
Where people have you know, been separated from their partners, often mm-hmm. by fault of their own, mm-hmm. and or they're the victims who are calling in and their lives, you know, the people who are screaming, you know, oh my goodness, you know, he's going to stab me, you know, whatever, you know, talk about major dysfunction
wow.
at that point, that things have now reached a very violent level.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted, I really saw what was like going on, and it to me, it was so clear and so obvious, and I wanted to be able to tell them, like, hey, maybe a really good idea is when you're calling your wife Collect at home, because you're in jail, is not the first thing when she gets on the phone is to call her names, accuse her of sleeping with other people, and tell her how bad she sucks at being a mother. That's probably not conducive to a good relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not, maybe. But that's how a lot of people approach it.
Yeah, and it was just really sad. And then, of course, these people wanted to love the other partner, but it was just craziness.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, how can we maintain that? And then, of course, you see their children were hearing all of this, and were like, I was like, oh, my goodness, it's just going to get worse.
Yes.
And I knew that I could help. I knew that I had this capacity to be able to see things kind of like a referee or a coach, so to speak, that I saw the game play, and I can tell who called, you know, I was going to call foul
yeah.
on one person or the other,
sure.
and who was safe and who needed to be ejected out of the game.
Yes. Boy, you know what? What a great, interesting job. I know to you at the time it was probably, gosh, this is hard. But I mean, wow. That is, you learned so
I
much.
I actually loved
people.
It.
Did you?
I
Good
loved
for you.
Both jobs. I miss law enforcement.
Yes.
Just miss it. I still teach law enforcement classes,
Good.
Like sexually violent crime investigation and intro to criminology and criminal justice. But I really miss that camaraderie I had with the other officers and the other people. I miss that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so speaking of healthy relationships,
that's
a really close-knit community when you work with people in an environment where you potentially, you know, could be killed or hit or
yeah.
hurt at any moment.
Sure. Yeah, it is very tight-knit, and it's really important to have that support. Absolutely. You know, Andrea, in your books, you talk about how you used to feel rejected, and I think we all have at one time or another. You talk about feeling blamed, and you blamed others for your past failed relationships. We all have done that, haven't we? We've all like, you know, boy, this person is a weird person to deal with, and, you know, nobody likes me because, or whatever. What were some of the life-changing experiences you had that gave you insight to stop feeling this way and reach out to other people?
It's actually really interesting. It was a pivotal moment for me was actually after I was already married to my second husband. And in the past, I had been frustrated or, you know, was focused on that everybody in my life, it was their fault.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I must have been the innocent princess, of course, and who was so pleasant always, was, must have been what was in my head. And I was in my second marriage, and I now had three little girls, and I wasn't very happy. And I was blaming my husband for it. And I started looking at him from an outsider's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is my problem? This man is good looking. He's a good provider. I know where he is. Yeah, he's not the best communicator, or at least in my way. He communicates great in other ways, but not
right.
in the way that I wanted
sure,
to
sure.
expected him to communicate. And when I started realizing that, I realized that all of a sudden, I was thinking about maybe throwing away my entire life and my family with my kids
yeah.
and the hopes and dreams that we had planned based on all this preconceived crap that I had in my head based
yeah.
on other people.
Right.
And then I started looking back at the people I dated.
Yes.
And Dr. Michelle, these people I realized were in really healthy, happy relationships now. So maybe the only common denominator in all the failed relationships was me.
Wow. That's
Ouch.
Hard to come to that. You know, a lot of people just can't get there. Good for you, Andrea.
It was ugly. I was like, oh, man, that's talk about feeling bad about
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh, this is not good. So actually what I did at that time, actually, I've never shared this. So you get to be the special one.
Oh, boy.
Because this is definitely a privileged story. Well,
okay.
Now everybody will know because it's
go.
On your show and everybody listens to it.
Perfect.
But what I did going back in my life and contacting all the people that I ever dated, you know, hung out with or tried to have a relationship with, and just started recontacting them and thanked them for contributing to my life so that I knew how to be a better person today, and said, by the way, you know, I remember this part of our relationship that was really, really good, and I just want to thank you for liking me and giving me the time of day that you actually wanted to date me.
Wow.
And then I'm so sorry that I was rude or mean to you at any point, or whatever part of that was mine. I ask for your forgiveness.
Whoa. That reminds, thank you for sharing that intimacy with us, Andrea. That's really something.
It was interesting. My husband's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, it'll be good for us. Just let me do it. And he's like, no, that's fine. I mean, you're going to do whatever you're going to do anyway. The funniest part of it was, is I actually used to date a police officer after my first divorce. Mm-hmm. And I knew where he worked. He worked at our one local McDonald's. So I went through McDonald's every day for lunch for like 2 weeks.
Oh, my
trying
goodness.
To find him working.
Yes.
And then finally he was working, and it was a summer day. I rolled down my window to talk to him.
Oh, my
and then
goodness.
shared that story with him.
Yes.
And he was like, thank you so
wow.
much for that. He was really honored to hear that and was really appreciative. And he kind of like just looked at me and was like, okay. And I'm like, no, that's all I wanted.
It's all good.
I'll tell you that and I'll see you around. Bye.
That is so cool, Andrea. That reminds me of the show. Remember the show My Name is Earl? You can see that on reruns where he's making...
Yeah, I love that show.
Yes. He's, you know, he's calling up people and apologizing for his past. And it's also similar to, I think it's step 4 in the AA programs where you do reach out to others and you ask others to forgive, you know, and just thank them for allowing you to learn lessons and what they contributed and apologize if you hurt them. That's amazing, girl. So it helped you.
It was interesting, and everybody responded really, really well with it. It was a very positive situation, and I'm really glad I did that. I even did that with my ex-husband, and he was flabbergasted and was very thankful. And then it was ironic because years later, he ended up calling me because he was in a second divorce, and I was the first person that he called to say that I don't know who else to talk to. I'm getting divorced, and I thought I would call you because you get it.
Wow. Wow, that is so nice. How flattering.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
But what's really cool, too, about you is that a lot of people have to be humble. They have to remove their ego in order to just kind of go out and do that and be vulnerable. Because there are going to be some people who say, you were a bitch. You know, are you, you know, and whoa, I really put my neck out that time. But you know what I'm saying? If we all kind of try to do that, we're going to get stepped on a little bit. But good for you.
Well, thank you. So that was really the pivotal case of, you know, me realizing what was going on in my own world. Now, ironically, about this time, I was already exploring getting more training in the field of sexuality and relationships and moving that direction towards, you know, having this kind of a career. And so it was very easy to move into that career right after that. I left law enforcement, went back to school, and then went into the profession. And now it's been 16 plus years later, and I love it. I can't even imagine doing anything else.
Wow. That is when you're good at it, too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Andrea Adams Miller. She's an authority in healthy relationships and sexuality. She's an author, public speaker. She has some great books. Neat CD program. And workbook right now called The Relationship Igniters, and you can check that out as well. We're going to be giving out her email address at the end of the show, as well as her website, so you can contact her if you have any questions or would like to get the CD package. She's got some really good points. I listened to it, and I read it, and good stuff, you know.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about healthy dating secrets. You know, what I want to do? I want to first of all talk about the issue that comes up a lot in sessions with me is how should I find someone special? You know, is online dating, in your opinion, a good way to meet people, or are there other ways that you would suggest folks meet someone who is probably healthier for them?
You know, I'm really open-minded to online dating. Mm-hmm. I have to admit that I met my second husband by putting an ad in the newspaper that was previous to online dating.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reasoning for me was, you know, it's based on your life and your situation and your availability. I worked crazy hours at the police department.
Right.
I didn't have time to go out and meet anybody at any particular function.
Sure.
My schedule was a swing shift. I didn't have any, you know, regular opportunity to go
right.
and volunteer for any particular group or anything, is which I often recommend to people to go out and meet people. So, and the newspaper was my option at the time.
Right.
Online wasn't feasible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and it worked for me. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. I'm married still. You know, he's pleasant. We get along good. You know, our kids love us both. So,
oh,
you know,
so
things are good
lucky.
There.
Oh, that's terrific. That's really neat.
You know, and it's
yeah.
from the newspaper, and
yeah.
it cracks me up when, you know, we talk about it. I'm like, that is so funny. But, you know, I do think that online does have its merit. The scary mm-hmm. thing about online is I wish people were more clear. And some people really are looking just for that booty call.
Yes.
And if that's what you want and that's what you're looking for,
yeah.
then great. Then you should go to, like, bootycall.com, or if there is one. I don't know what those sites might be. I'm sure they're easy to find.
Yeah.
But that you're clear that I'm just looking for someone to love for the night,
sure.
and I'm ready to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're
yeah.
seriously looking at a relationship, you know, say, hey, I want to meet some people and see if we get along and see
exactly.
where things go from here. I'm looking for a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And not everybody's doing that.
Right.
And people use fake bad pictures of
oh,
themselves.
Yes.
But,
oh, yeah.
Well, I don't mean bad like
no.
they look bad.
No,
like
no,
they
I
look
know.
Really good and they don't look like that.
They get professional headshots done with touch-ups. That's what I would do
yeah.
if I were single. No. But no, and I hear so much of the time, you know, women saying, well, I'm going to expect that this guy is probably a little thinner or a little more bald or 10 years older. Or so there is an expectation that most people aren't going to be what they say they are on, you know, the internet. But in other words, you say it's really a good idea just to be safe. Continue to contact them, continue to have conversations, meet in public places, make it safe until you feel okay with that person. And
oh, yeah.
There's always ways you can meet people, social organizations, churches, you know, any kind of religious meetings, temples, you know, you name it, clubs. Friends of friends are always really good.
Hobbies. And first
yeah.
of all, you have to tell everybody that you're interested.
Exactly.
I always use the analogy of a birthday wish.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a kid, you know, Dr. Michelle, when your parents told you to blow out the candle, I'm sure they told you to keep it a secret so it would come true, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
yeah, that's
well,
right.
Well, they were lying to you, and it's not because they're bad people. It's because they knew that you wanted a pony, and they weren't going to be able to provide one.
That's right.
Or just didn't want to
right.
deal with it. It was a lot of cost and a lot of poop involved, and they just
no,
didn't want that.
That's right.
So they weren't interested.
Yeah.
So if we don't tell people our wishes and what we're looking for, and be open to the fact that maybe just because we say that's what we're looking for doesn't mm-hmm. mean that we really always know for ourselves what's
right.
best,
yeah.
Then your friends do have people. And you don't have to – I know blind dates are, like, creepy or weird
yeah,
for
yeah.
some people.
They are.
But group mass meetings of people are not.
Right.
You know, hey,
that's,
a group of
right.
us are going. Would a group of you like to go too? Yeah.
Exactly.
It works out really well.
That's a great idea. You know, you talk about helping readers learn how to ignite the spark, and you have healthy dating secrets, and you emphasize that friendship is what dating is truly about. Can you explain that a little bit more to help people out?
Yeah, because, you know, think about it. When you're prospecting for a new date and you're trying to date someone, you know, you're going to have so much more fun with them. If you can laugh at them, laugh at yourself, and just have a good time. I mean, just think about it. You know, so many times people make dating so serious.
I know.
And it's work.
Yeah.
It's hard work. Dating, they go, oh, dating is so hard. And I'm thinking, really?
Yeah.
Dating is a lot of fun.
Right. It is.
It's this opportunity to just go and be your total self.
That's
and if
right.
they still like you at the end of the day, then you have picked a winner.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There you go. You really have. a lot of people don't know how to talk on dates. They don't know how to phrase things. They're uncomfortable. They're, you know, either they've been married for a while, they're divorced. They don't know how to get back into the groove of things, or they're fearful. In your Relationship Igniters handbook and also the CD, you talk about certain phrases. They're healthy dating phrases that you suggest. It really is a step-by-step thing to help people just sort of have some things to say that are appropriate. What would you suggest?
Well, it's been funny because, you know, over the years I've had single clients who've been single their whole lives.
Yeah.
Maybe they're, you know, in their early 20s, or people who are in their late 60s who've been single and in between, or people who've been divorced or widowed and they'd like to get back out there. And they really just don't know what to say to somebody while they're on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up with some phrases that I would hear people say. I did like some impromptu interviewing when I would be around people. You know,
yeah.
how do you feel comfortable? And I took the top ones that people seem to like,
yes.
And I composited those together in the Healthy Igniters book. And, you know, so one of the ones is when you're sitting with someone and you're both laughing, and
right.
you all of a sudden go, you know, I enjoy your company. I love how you make me laugh. This is really fun.
That's cool.
It's not committal. It's not like, I want to marry you and have your baby.
Right.
It's not that.
Right.
It's a compliment, so the person feels really good about themselves. And then you've also let them know that means, geez, if I enjoyed your company today, it's likely that I would enjoy the second time. So now you've let them know that you're willing, most likely willing and open to going on a second date. And so they're more likely to ask you because they have heard you say that you would like to spend more time with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, underlying message there as well. So there's always some underlying messages in what we say.
Right.
You know, another one is like, you know, when the date's coming to a close, I always tell people when they're dating really early on to pick a date where you have something to do afterwards, and so you have the out.
Yes.
You have a class, you have a meeting, you have a phone call. By mm-hmm. the way, if you don't have any of those things, you might have a meeting with your washer and your dryer to do
there
some
you
laundry.
Go. You go, girl.
You just don't mention that part. You're like, oh, I have a meeting, you know. And then
mm-hmm.
if you decide that you'd like to extend the date,
mm-hmm.
and they go, oh, man, I really, you know, say, you know what? You know, I could probably be a little late.
There you
okay.
go. There you go.
They probably wouldn't be offended if I just kind of like blew them off tonight, you know?
Yeah, and that
and
shows
course,
interest.
Your dirty laundry. Yeah, your dirty laundry doesn't care. It's fine.
That's right. You're so funny.
So one of the things that you could do is say, wow, you know, this time spent with you has gone so fast. I could literally just spend, you know, hours more talking with you.
Great. That's a good one. That's very positive.
Yeah, and so if they want to, they go, man, I really wish so too. You know, yeah. Do you really have to go? And if you really have to go, then you say, yeah, I do. And you go, yeah, that's when you offer, well, I could maybe push that back a little bit and see where things go.
Yeah, that's terrific. By the way, if you just tuned in here to On the Couch, this is Dr. Michelle with my special guest today, Andrea Adams-Miller. She's known as the sexuality tutor, but she's an authority in healthy relationships and well and sexuality. If you would like to call in live here on LA Talk Radio, do so, 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815 if you're shy. You can email me directly and we'll get your first in order. How's that? Doc Michelle, DOC Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. Doc Michelle at AOL.com. And ask Andrea a question. She'd love to help you out live here on the air. You know, what do you mean when you say that people who start dating need to be their true self, right? While at the same time dressing their best. I mean, I know a lot of people's true selves are, I'm going to kick back and look real casual, especially a lot of guys I see. But I say, no, that's not a good idea.
Well, I have a perfect example, and actually I'll do this without outing this person, but and actually I use this person as an example because they're very much like a lot of people I've met and a lot of clients I've met over the years. This one particular person kind of outshines this a perfect moment for this. She's a woman who loves, you know, rock concerts and heavy metal music and really loves that. Yet to look at her, she kind of looks like the girl next door, and she's, you know, great, and she's awesome and smart and educated. And so when she fixes up, she tends to not wear those things.
Ah.
And so then people are surprised then when they meet her later on, and then her normal dress is, you know, rock concert t-shirts and black fingernail polish and, hair in a ponytail.
There you go.
It throws people off because they're looking for, you know, certain kind of shirt or blouse or jeans and little shoes, and that person never wears that except when they're dressing up for a special occasion.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So, go ahead. My recommendation for people like her, because I use her as an example because she encompasses so many people, is buy a brand new or pick one of your best rock concert t-shirts.
Yeah.
Or the one that looks the most vintage, so it fits the new style now of old is new. And then wear that with, you know, some of your better jeans or your better shorts or your better tennis shoes or whatever that you normally like to wear.
Yeah.
And then even though you always wear your hand in a ponytail, still wear it in a ponytail because that's how you like to look.
Yes.
And keep your finger, go ahead and wear black nail polish. It's perfectly acceptable nowadays for, I see lots of even professional women wear really dark nail polish. So go ahead and wear it because, and, you know, just make sure your nails are done. So,
you know,
so you look nice and take a really good bath and, you know, be all scrubbed up, which, you know, a lot of people do anyways, but some people don't. And so it seems crazy that I would tell people to take a bath and brush their teeth.
Yes. No, you're right. And guys, wash your hair, okay? Nobody wants stringy, greasy-looking hair, even, you know, if it's kind of like that, you're rocking that longer look. Dude, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. I'm a bad girl.
Well, you know, there might be a few people who like that, but for the most part, they, you know, most people like the whole bathing idea. Not everyone. So if you find out later that they don't like bathing and you don't like to bathe, well, then you have found your perfect mate. You're happy.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all good.
Good.
You know, and that's part of it, too. I've known other clients who are like sweatpant people.
Right.
I'm like, wear sweatpants that I don't want you to put on khakis or a suit to go out. I want you to maybe invest in a nicer pair of sweatpants that are a better color for you or fit better or you look a little better in, and wear that because you want to. I guess I just don't want people to do the bait and switch because then it's frustrating to them when they finally are themselves and the other people aren't interested.
Yeah.
If they truly like you for you, they don't really care what you're wearing.
Yeah, that's true.
They just don't.
That's really true. You are on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. If you want to email me or ask my guest, Andrea Adams Miller, a question, do so, docmichelle@aol.com. I have one here that just came in. Would you like to take a stab at it, Andrea?
Oh, I'd love to.
Cool. It's from Rochelle, and let's go. She says, I'm 32. I've been on three dates with this cute guy I met on, well, I guess we can name it, Match.com. On our last date, he laid all this information on me about how his mom abused him and that he has fear and trust issues with women. But he seems very charming and warm. What do you think I should do? Oh, boy.
Well, I have a couple thoughts. First one is like, all right, on one hand, I'd like to commend the guy that he just got it out right away that he's got some issues.
Yeah.
And they obviously bother him, and at least he's not going to do a bait and switch on her later, and then she's going to be all in love with him, and then he brings this all up, and then she's going to have to meet the mom or not meet the mom and all that kind of stuff that comes along with meeting other people's families, because people say, oh, you marry that person, not their family. Well, I don't know who came up with that lie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Even if you only got to see him at Christmas, that's a day you dread all year long.
God, I know.
Let's
I hear
be
you.
Realistic.
Yep.
So on one hand, that's great. And on the other hand, you know, she did not sign up to be anybody's counselor. She probably does not have the information or the time or the energy to try to save somebody else. And, you know, she probably doesn't have the skill set to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a job, and you and I get paid to do stuff like that.
Yes.
She's not being paid. I don't think she should do that for free.
Yeah.
If she enjoys his company, you know, then be his friend, but don't get all in a tizzy over it and then think that you can help him or save him. He needs to do that for himself. So, and he needs a professional to overcome some things if it truly is that bad. If he just wanted to bring it up and it doesn't perceive to be a problem as things progress, then
right.
maybe it's not. But,
yeah.
You know.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Rochelle, for writing in. And I'm reading a quote from your book right now, Andrea. It says, it is not your partner's job to fix the problems you had with your parents, mend the wounds you had from previous partners, or ease the bullying you suffered as a child. Well said. So hopefully hopefully that helped you out, Rochelle. Maybe just sort of go out with him, see how it feels, and see if there are some signs possibly showing that he is defensive and taking you the wrong way when you're meaning nice, kind things, or you're coming from a good place. See if his defense mechanisms start coming up, and that way you can also sort of judge and see that he may still have some unresolved issues and needs to get some help with them. No judgment here.
Yeah.
Right? You know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he may do well. Yeah, you never know.
You never know, my dear. You know, just briefly, a lot of clients say they've gone out on several dates, like Rochelle, and they've decided they don't like the person. How do you tell someone, let's say on a second or third date, that you don't really want to see them anymore? You've confirmed that. Is it good to do it on the date, or is it better to do it? Definitely not by text. Is it better? I'm busy for the rest of my life. Thank you. Bye. Is it better to call them and tell them? What would you suggest?
You know, I have this from two different adages. One is from personal experience, and one is from all the years of doing this.
Yep.
It's really nice just to be honest with people. Now, not so bluntly honest, like, okay, let's say that they do something and the way you eat just grosses me out and I can't imagine a life with you. Okay, that's hurtful. You don't need to say that. But you could just say things like, you know, you're a great person, but I just don't see the chemistry here. And although I like you, it's just not working for me, and so I don't want to waste your time when the perfect one might be out there waiting for you. And likewise, I needed to make sure you were right for me, and I'm not feeling that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just don't want to go out with you anymore. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to let you know that up front, because I didn't want to be some, you know, rude person who wouldn't, you know, just doesn't call you back or just does it by text or by Facebook or something like that. And I just wanted to be honest with you because I respect you enough to be honest with you.
That's a terrific answer. Yeah.
Yeah. They're still going to be hurt if they liked you.
Sure.
Because it's rough to be rejected. But I would rather be rejected or have my clients be rejected early on before they spend any more time pining over you. And I always consider it a gift. If you're the one who's getting dumped, mm-hmm. I always think that, you know, it's okay to cry, but say, oh, thank you for telling me and not wasting any more of my time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Exactly. I really appreciated our experience. It was so horrible. It taught me how... No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just... I know. You are appropriate in that. No, that's a great answer. Maybe that's...
I can real quick give you a little... I met this guy once when I told you from the newspaper with my husband. I met several different people.
Sure.
And the one guy, I had put on there a great smile and all this stuff, and he had really bad teeth. And actually, I just like wanted to rush him to the dentist.
Oh.
And he was a really great guy. Yeah. We had nothing in common. And so we were on our day and we were talking. And then finally he just said, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Oh.
I said, if you're thinking that maybe we shouldn't go out to eat together anymore, I'm thinking that you're right. And he started laughing.
Wow.
And he said, yeah, we just don't have any chemistry, do we? And I said, no, and you're a fabulous guy. And he's like, you're a great woman.
Aww.
And I just said, well, I'm not for you. And he goes, and you're not, and then I'm not for you. And we finished eating then. We laughed and had a great time. And then we parted ways and it was all good.
That's a great story. If it was so simple most of the time for many of us, huh? That's a great story.
Yeah.
By the way, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. My special guest today, Andrea Adams Miller. She is an authority in healthy relationships and sexuality. I'm going to be giving out her website and how you can contact her and get a hold of her books. She's got the Relationship Igniters going on right now, which is great. It's a workbook and also a CD you can purchase if you like, and just check out, get more information about it. We're talking about that and just getting out there in the world and finding someone special. You know, talking about the last situation you described, maybe an awkward kind of date, but you put it out there, he put it out there, it was all good, you moved on. So it's really important, you suggest, for folks to make a list before they go out that outlines a lot of the deal breakers before they sort of start dating people, before they take that step into the unknown. Why do you suggest that?
Well, that is one of my favorite things for people to do, and it really comes because I do business consulting as well and talk about putting the sizzle in your business relationships. And I always talk about the business of your relationship, with, if it's interpersonal. So I just did a little keynote yesterday for a group of people, a group of students, and I talked about the deal breakers. If you have a clear list of, if you are hiring someone to work for you, on the qualities they have to have and what qualities would make them not hireable or fireable immediately upon action. Mm-hmm. You know, if you knew those, if you do that same strategy for dating and map that out, then you clearly have, you know, you say, you know what, I really like you. We started dating. I thought it was really awesome, but I found out, let's say that you found out they smoke and you hate that. And you said, yeah, but I realized that you smoke and I'm sorry, that's a deal breaker for me.
Yes.
And then they'll say, yeah, but, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, it's a deal breaker. And I actually, you can't see me, so I'll try to describe this. I literally tell people to hold out their hand.
Right.
And so the palm of their hand is like facing out as if you have a piece of paper in your hand.
Okay.
And then take your finger and run it across your palm and along, like underneath the, or along the ring finger, as if you're pointing to the actual deal breaker. Like you have a piece of paper and that's the one, that, like number three.
Yes.
No smoking.
Yes.
And then no matter what they say, you
yes.
go, yeah, it's right here, deal breaker. And
yes.
what's funny is people like literally look at your hand and read it.
Yes.
Like it says, oh, okay.
Oh.
And they go, oh, okay.
That's a great idea. That's really good.
Yeah, it's right here, deal breaker.
Yep, deal breaker.
Right here on my invisible piece of paper in my hand.
Exactly. Let's say somebody has finally met someone very special and it's a mutual interest. Things are going well, the relationship develops 6 months down the road, they're getting more intimate and learning more about each other. And so after all the dating and actually finding someone nice to have a relationship with, you talk about practicing healthy ways to act and talk to our partners. What are some of those ways to keep relationships in good shape?
Well, my favorite one to talk about is my favorite secret is to act like a person that would be missed. And I often use the analogy of being the kind of person that is happier to see your loved one more than the dog.
Yes.
Think about what the yeah. dog does, uh-huh. Dr. Michelle, when
yeah.
when you come home. And now, even
oh,
if
yeah.
you listeners don't have a dog, I'm sure you've probably seen the dog or gone to somebody else's house where
yes.
the dog wants to jump up on you and lick your face and, you know, be all over you and be petted by you, and they are so excited to see you.
Yes.
They might even sniff your butt. Now, I'm not saying you go that far, okay?
Oh, please, can't
but you
I?
Want to. You want to be friendly and excited
yeah.
about seeing people. And
yes.
actually, this whole analogy comes from my husband. We have to thank him for that. His name's Tom.
Hi, Tom.
And what it was is he told me, thank you, his mom would be so happy to see his dad
oh.
that she would literally run out of the house and greet him at the door of his car every day.
Wow. That is so healthy.
That is awesome.
You know, Tom.
I have literally saved marriages by offering that tip here. So all of you listening, you're getting like major secrets here. And imagine if I can come up with this one little tip, what I can do for your relationship. It's so amazing and so cool. So it just depends on your situation. You know, I tailor these little solutions for things that work and have worked for other people. And what the couples that have been implementing that secret have learned is that they feel better about that person coming home, and that person feels better about coming home.
Mm,
yeah. Who doesn't want to come home to a house where people love you and are glad that you're there?
God, that's a great idea. And, you know, also on that, and I'm sure Tom experienced this too, since your mom was so excited and greeted his dad outside, you know, ask how their day went. I know it's kind of tedious and boring, and it's every day to say, but actually be interested in what your partner was doing and how things are going. And if they don't want to talk about it, allow them some downtime not to talk about it. Be there and be friendly. And another thing too, which you suggest, don't lay your problems and don't lay your stuff on other people. As soon as they walk in the door, as soon as you sit down with them, ask about how they are. Listen, be more attentive. Don't say, I need to talk to you about my horrible day right away. That's the best way to do it.
Your kids did this. Yeah. Your
That's
dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Your
all of a sudden,
dog.
Ownership becomes to the other person who is away.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. By the way, my guest today, special author, speaker, relationship expert, sexuality expert, Andrea Adams Miller. And we're talking about her workbook. It's really terrific. It'll help you out a lot with your relationships. It's the Relationship Igniters. She has books, Healthy Relationships and Healthy Sexualities. She also has a CD that comes along with it. So if you like more information about Andrea, I'm going to be giving her web address here, of course, her email address, and you can get in touch with her if you'd like. We're getting lots of great information here about going out on dates, how to find dates, once you have a nice relationship, how to keep it stable. Let's talk about some of the negative things and common personality traits or behaviors that we should be mindful of, things that we shouldn't do, you know, so our partners won't want to spend more time away from us. What are some of those things?
You know, it was interesting. I actually came across somebody yesterday, and it just broke my heart to hear this. I made some kind of comment about, well, we were visiting with her at a funeral visitation, and she said, oh, I can't talk. I have to go. My husband will be upset. Dinner will be late 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I made a joke about it. Like, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I wouldn't want that to get cold or be late. And she said, oh, he's better about it now. He used to be really strict.
Oh.
And all I could think of is, oh, she's really put in a child parent role. And, you know, where like the parent is like, you better be home for curfew or you're going to be grounded. And, you know, I just had this envisioning of like her being late with dinner and getting her cell phone taken away or her driving privileges, you know, and I'm thinking how challenging to be in a relationship and to feel respected and to feel loved and to feel beautiful and sexy when the person that you're trying to be beautiful and sexy with is acting like your parent who's mad at you all the time.
Oh, wow. That's so true. That's so true.
And if you know, like I'm sure you do, Dr. Michelle, there's a very small percentage of the population that actually wants to have a sexual relationship with their parent, right? It's like less than
1%. Oh, well, yeah.
Acting like somebody's parent. If you're married to them or dating them, they don't need you to parent them. If they needed a parent, they'll go find somebody to adopt them. You know, they don't parent your partner.
Yes, exactly. Hey, we have another email. Shall we read it and see if we can help out?
Yep.
All right, here we go. This is from Landry, and she says, I'm worried about my husband's behavior. He is 45 years old. He has started working later, about 3 nights a week. He's wearing sharper clothes to work and always showers in the morning now, wearing lots of cologne. He has joined a gym and seems very focused on his body and his appearance. Oh, boy. I'm concerned that he may be having an affair. Our sex is usually really good, but what can I do to stop worrying about this?
Well, all right. So there's a couple things that come to mind, which is part of it is mindset. The very first thing that I thought of is, you know what? I wonder if he's 45, he's concerned about the recession, concerned about work, and he's trying to step up and be a game player so that he can get a promotion at work. That's the first thing I thought of.
Good. I appreciate your
mindset.
I don't
always assume that someone's cheating.
Yes.
I don't.
Good. Yeah.
The second thing is if he is cheating or thinking about cheating, there's something missing in his life as far as maybe communication. It could be lots of times people have affairs that have nothing to do with sex.
Right.
Often sex is just like a bonus, or sometimes they never even get to the sex part.
Yeah.
They want to feel connected. They want to feel loved. They want to feel important. They want to be respected. And maybe they're not getting that at home. It doesn't mean that she's not providing it, but maybe he needs it in a different way and he can't see that she's trying.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she's not, you know, it sounds like if she's reaching out to us that she probably does really care and wants to be able to connect with him.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing I would suggest is, first of all, not for her to accuse him of anything, because then if you're being accused of it, they might as well.
Yes.
I mean, if you're in trouble anyways, what's keeping you from doing anything bad? If you're constantly being scolded and telling to quit stealing the cookies out of the cookie jar when you haven't been,
right,
you're going to start eating them.
Mm, that's so true. That makes a lot of
sense.
So
I don't want her to accuse him of anything, but what I would love for her to do is acknowledge that his body is changing and that he's taking care of himself, because maybe he acknowledges that he's getting older and sees his friends getting fatter and diabetes and, you know, losing their jobs and, you know, losing their partners at home and all of that. So, you know, is he staying away later because he's exercising, or is he truly staying at work to work more hours? Or maybe he feels he needs to be a better provider and make more money to keep her happy, you know. So for her to let him know that she loves him, respects him, encourages him, you know, with his weight loss and so forth, ask if she can maybe participate and help and get on the game with him and maybe run with him or take walks or exercise with him at different times or get a sitter and meet him at the gym and do her own thing while he does his thing, and have that conversation with him. And it's okay to say, you know, one of the reasons that I'm concerned, you know, that I'm excited about your body looking really good is I have to admit I'm a little jealous, because if I'm thinking you're looking hot, there might be somebody else who's thinking that you're looking hot.
Yeah.
And I'd like to spend more time with you so that I make sure that you're happy.
That's right. That is so true. And that's a perfect answer. Landry, thank you so much for emailing us. Hope that helped you out a lot. And I think it did. Let's talk about sex. I know all the listeners are going, I know Andrea Adams Miller is a sexual expert. Let's get to the sex questions. All right, we will. We're doing it right now. You talk about healthy sexuality secrets. What are some of the most important things to do to keep the sexual relationship exciting?
Well, one of them is being creative and fun. We seem to get locked into how and when sex should happen as we get older.
Mm.
It's like all of a sudden work and kids and other things come up in our world, and we just can't even figure out how to fit it in or say that we have no interest. And part of the reason that women and men lose interest is because they're so busy and exhausted doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, does your house need to be perfect? Is that really what you want to be remembered for?
Yeah.
Well, my wife never was intimate with me, but she sure kept a spotty floor, you know. You know, you don't want that.
Yeah. That's true. You don't. Andrea,
or have sex on the floor and then clean it up.
Or,
you know, just be creative
fun
and, you know, tell your kids that you're going to go take a nap for an hour or, you know, hire a babysitter and tell them to take them to the park for an hour.
There you go.
And you guys take a nap. You know, you can make up some crazy story that, well, we need to talk about our budget and people might get loud.
There you go.
You know, you don't have to say you're fighting. People get loud.
Yeah.
So that way if you're in your house going,
There you go.
You know, well, you were loud. You're talking about the budget.
That's right. Oh, my God, the economy. Oh my God, the economy.
I was thinking about making a deposit or a withdrawal, but okay.
You have good ones, girl. You got some good lines. What are some of the common interest and role play scenarios you talk about to get the passion going, which can lead to better sex?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because recently on the news now, mainstream, they've been talking about that 50 Shades of Grey, and that's got everybody all in a tizzy about that, who's not used to reading, you know, books that have very explicit erotica in them.
Right.
And both men and women are being turned on by that kind of book or product. And there's some real fantasy role plays within that book that some people have thought about, you know, of restraining your partner or, you know, keeping them from doing things. And while you may not feel like, you know, driving up to your next, you know, kink and leather store and, you know, investing in their high-end dollar, you know, whipping post or something, just asking, you know, telling your partner to hold onto the headboard and they're not allowed to move their arm, like, don't move. And if they go to move their arm, you say, and put it back.
Yeah.
You know, that in itself is a restraint, even if just a verbal one.
Yeah.
And it's talking to your partner about it and say, hey, I'd like to play, you know, I want you to be my baby girl right now. Or, you know, what would be really fun right now is to think about reacting out our wedding night.
Ooh.
Or let's pretend that we're virgins and it's the first night that I'm touching you. Or,
ooh,
you know, or something crazy,
great.
You know,
yeah,
whatever. If they're into baseball, then, you know, you are the baseball player or you're the cheerleader for the Dallas Cowboys. And
batter
they
up.
Just scored a touchdown.
Right.
And it's fun. It's very, you know, and people think they have to have a fancy poo-poo costume and get all, you know, fussy, gussied up or whatever.
Yeah.
It could be something really, really simple. In fact, I'm laughing right now because my employee today asked me, I have a headdress from somebody who was at a dance studio, and I do a lot of theater and monologues and stuff, and so there happened to be a headdress in my trunk, and I brought it in today and to the office, and my employee, he goes, why is there a headdress on my desk? And I was laughing because now that I'm thinking about costumes, I'm like, oh, he probably thinks I was pretending to be a showgirl. Now I might have to, but you
nothing
know.
Wrong with that. That's so funny.
He's giving me a dirty look. He's here now. He's like,
great.
Oh God, thanks for
there
that
you
visual.
Go. That's
but
right.
It's just a headband with a feather on the top.
Hey, whatever
it's
works.
Just somebody hot glued a little nothing that we used for theater.
Oh,
I mean, it's
so
not
funny.
A big deal. Fun stuff like that, or put a, you know, feather in your teeth and dance a tango or something.
There
and be
you go.
Stupid.
But you're so funny. Andrea, it's about time we wrap things up here. We've got CBS News coming up and a lot more great shows. But I want to ask you, how can listeners get in touch with you, get a hold of your books, your CD programs to have healthier sex and better relationships?
Well, thank you so much for asking. Mm-hmm. The main website is www.igniteyourrelationships.com, igniteyourrelationships.com. And from there, you can either check out business consulting, which, by the way, in business consulting, I talk about dating, relationships, and sexuality as it's applied to business,
great,
like stroking the business erogenous zone so that you can have more lucrative finances and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's a fun analogy. Or you can also click from there to Sexuality Tutor or go there directly. It's sexualitytutor.com, and that is the interpersonal part of Ignite Your Relationships, where we talk about ways to ignite the spark, fire, and passion in your interpersonal relationship.
Great. Sounds great, and I'm sure you're going to get great responses from the show. Andrea, thank you so much for being on the show today. Always a pleasure, always a lot of fun to have you as a guest, and you're so articulate and informative as well. Hope we helped out a lot of listeners today. So.
Well, thank you so much, and I love doing what I do. I love keynote speaking and doing radio shows, so I love being on the couch with Dr. Michelle, so thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Have a lovely weekend, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Great. Bye-bye now. Yeah. Andrea Adams-Miller, I'll leave the show information up here if you'd like to get in touch with her. That would be terrific. And then what you can do is download the show. It'll be in reruns tomorrow, noon. After that, if you want to listen to iTunes as well, that address is up. It's free. All my shows are on iTunes if you want to review them again, get some help. Dr. Michelle leaving the building. You can stay here for more great shows. And you can stay on the couch as well. As I always say, take good care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. Have a great day. Bye-bye.